Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, with you on this Friday edition. The NFL draft has come. It's here. The first round in the books. We will have rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 throughout the weekend, and I'll be back with my breakdown of the rest of the draft Monday. But today, we are talking about round, and look, the 49ers don't have a ton of picks on day two, so we're going to be talking a lot about day three on Monday. But the 49ers had two picks in round one, thought maybe they would move out completely with maybe one of those selections. They did not. They actually moved back up at the end of the round. They moved twice. They moved back with 13. They moved up with 31. The 49ers have two new players to introduce. That is defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina and Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver out of Arizona State. So let's get into the draft. I want to talk a little bit about just the general draft league-wide, how things went, and then specifically what went down at the 49ers' two selections in round one. Subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. Let them know about the other show I co-host, Locked On NFL, and all the programs here on the network. Even if they're not a 49ers fan, let them know their team is covered daily. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. I will do some mailbag next week. I'm sure people have questions. I've had a lot of good and some annoying Twitter conversations tonight. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. A little bit exhausted, actually, getting late night here about midnight as I'm getting ready to post this podcast and go to bed and do it all again tomorrow with day two. But the 49ers don't have any picks and don't really have a lot of ways to get into it. So the 49ers are not going to be involved, I don't think, unless they can pull off a trade involving a player. And I don't know about any players on the roster that would be moved to get them into round two or three. I just don't think the 49ers are going to be involved at all Friday in the draft. But they were heavily involved Thursday night in round one, so let's get into that. We have to start at the top. Before we get to 13 and 14, where the 49ers eventually had their first selection, the things at the top were somewhat boring. It was ho-hum. We heard all these rumors about things that could happen. If you heard yesterday's show, you heard my mock draft, which was pretty on. I knew I was going to change it again, and I changed it for the worse. It was right on. I nailed it. Remember? And look, I got to give props to the Dolphins. The smoke screen worked, right? Great job, Chris Greer. He did it. Everybody in the world thought Justin Herbert to Miami. We've been hit over the head with it. Every analyst, every whisper around the NFL was, they don't like Tua. They want Herbert. Herbert's the guy. So they sat at five. They didn't have to trade up. Nobody traded in front of the Dolphins, and they sat back. They got the guy after all of this. They won too many games to pick number one. All of a sudden, this guy, Joe Burrow, comes out of nowhere. He's the number one pick to the Bengals, and now Tua, with a hip injury, falls to five. Dolphins won too many games. Now they're picking five. They still end up getting the guy that they were tanking for. They weren't really doing it, but most people assumed or thought they maybe should be tanking for Tua, and it still ended up happening, so good job by the Dolphins. They sat there. They didn't have to move, and they got their guy in Tua Tagovailoa at five. Number two was Chase Young, by the way, after Joe Burrow. Washington, not surprising. Defensive end there to Washington out of Ohio State. Jeff Okuda, cornerback, Ohio State. His teammate goes to Detroit at three. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle to the Giants at four. I thought they took maybe the second or third best offensive tackle. Jedrick Wills is my top tackle, but they wanted a left tackle, and that was sort of the thing with Wills and Wirfs is their right tackles, and, you know, some teams, they are worried about flipping a guy to the other side. I thought Wills would be fine to the left side, but they went with Andrew Thomas at four. Tua, five. Justin Herbert, quarterback from Oregon, goes six then to the Los Angeles Chargers. Derek Brown, this is where things really changed up, was the Derek Brown pick. And I thought for a second, oh, man, could Isaiah Simmons make it to 13 for the 49ers? Derek Brown went seven, defensive tackle to the Panthers, but the team that everybody in the world, well, before they traded for DeAndre Hopkins, everybody had CeeDee Lamb or another wide receiver, but mostly CeeDee Lamb going to the Cardinals at eight. They got a number one wide receiver. Then everyone's like, oh yeah, you got to protect your quarterback. Duh. And every single mock draft had an offensive tackle to the Cardinals at eight. But Isaiah Simmons fell to them, and they went with the best player. And I got to commend him. Isaiah Simmons, I think, was a good pick. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker slash safety, matching up. And that's what he is. He's a matchup player on defense. Seeing him versus George Kittle twice a year is going to be fun. I'm excited for that. I'm kind of glad that the Cardinals did that because I think that'll be a fun matchup to watch. And it also means that an offensive tackle didn't get drafted by Arizona, which means that who's Nick Bosa going against? You know, some dude, right? So that probably still bodes well. I'll take that matchup, I think, for the 49ers overall. So maybe, I mean, Isaiah Simmons is the best player, but man, they need to figure out the offensive line. You got to keep Kyler Murray, your young quarterback. You got to help him out. We see it around the league. The Giants just had to kind of reach for an offensive tackle at four because they got to protect their young quarterback. You got to do it. Number nine, C.J. Henderson goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle from Alabama, to the Browns at 10. Mekhi Becton, Louisville offensive tackle, 11 to the Jets. First wide receiver off the board was number 12, Henry Ruggs, to the Raiders, which meant the 49ers had the two best wide receivers in the draft, in my opinion, on the board for them at 13. It couldn't have fallen any better. And what do? Now they move back a little bit. They move back one spot, which was a genius move. I love this from John Lynch. Had the opportunity, and I love it. I love that the Bucks, I mean, you have to have the offer, right? The Bucks wanted to move up one spot. Niners got a fourth rounder. They gave away a seventh, the last pick, which is 10 picks from the end of the draft, 245, I think it is, their second seventh rounder. They added that in too. They got a fourth, which is 117 overall from the Bucks, for the Bucks to move up one spot and get Tristan Wirfs. And that trade makes me believe that the 49ers might have had another offer to go further down, and they didn't want to go further down. So they went with just a fourth rounder for the Bucks, who had the next pick, who could have just waited and taken the guy there. The Niners must have had another deal to go up and someone coming up to try to get a tackle. And it was Tristan Wirfs, the fourth offensive tackle off the board to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 13. That left the 49ers on the clock at pick 14 overall with an added fourth rounder. And they selected Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina. Let's get into Javon Kinlaw, who he is next. Talk about the rest of the first round, what the 49ers did at 31, which turned into pick 25 coming up. The 49ers fortifying the defensive line with defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina, 6'5", 324 pounds. The interesting thing about this selection is that they went with Kinlaw while they still had the two stud receivers, the two top wide receivers on most analysts' draft boards. And some people like Henry Ruggs a lot, and it wasn't a surprise. There were some whispers that Henry Ruggs could potentially be the top wide receiver in this draft because of the crazy 4.27 speed. And he went number 12 to the Raiders, an Al Davis special. I'm sure Al Davis had a little just win baby grunted from his grave and was approving of that selection. But Jerry Jeudy, who was my top wide receiver, just one spot ahead of CeeDee Lamb, really liked both of those guys, and Henry Ruggs not far behind, right behind those two guys. The 49ers had a shot to draft the best wide receiver this year, in my opinion, in Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. Like, I'm not going to fight you if CeeDee Lamb was your top guy. Like, they're back-to-back for me. Like them both. Javon Kinlaw at pick 14 was, if you listened to yesterday's podcast, was number 14 overall for me on my big board. So not a reach to draft Kinlaw at 14. I thought the 49ers would have an opportunity to draft a player better than Kinlaw, obviously, because they're picking 13 and Kinlaw was 14th on my board. And they did. They had two guys on the board that were in my top 10 in Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. But the Niners decided to pass on wide receiver, which is very interesting. And they went with the defensive lineman. The reason I have those players over Kinlaw is, one is positional value. Just interior defensive line, not as value as an edge rusher, not as valuable as an offensive tackle, not as valuable as a wide receiver, not as valuable as a cornerback. That's just the way the world works. And that's the way football works as far as interior defensive linemen. They're not as valuable as the outside guys. But he's a stud. I mean, he's a beast. 6'5", 324 pounds. long arms, big hands. I mean, he's built exactly like you would want someone who was going to manhandle other human beings. The problem with Kinlaw for me and why I was kind of out on him with a 13th pick is the consistency and the production. For how much he could dominate at times, he would disappear at other times. Like, he's against Georgia, against Alabama, these big SEC matchups, he's playing so well. And then against Appalachian State, he disappears. And it's like, what the hell? And at times, he suffers from, and DeForest Buckner went through this early in his career, he suffers from being sort of a taller defensive tackle inside, where sometimes people can get underneath you and you play a little bit tall and people can get you out of there and root you out and against the run. So he's thicker than Buckner. I mean, he weighs 25 pounds more than Buckner did, I think, coming out, right? He's thicker in the hips and thicker in the butt and thicker in the legs. And Kinlaw will walk guards back to the quarterback sometimes. Like, he has dominating reps, but he disappears sometimes. So it's all consistency with Kinlaw. And then on top of the consistency issues, there's a weight thing, which I learned about just very recently in the last couple of weeks before the draft. Kinlaw had to lose 40 pounds to get down to his 324 playing weight. And it could go both ways. They wonder, oh man, is he going to have a weight problem where he's going to really have to fight to keep that off? Are you going to have a guy in year two, or even after the quarantine, is he going to show up to his first training camp and weigh 350? Or is it saying the opposite, where look how hard this guy works to make his body right and get down to the right weight and get down to 320 pounds when he could have weighed 360 pounds. But that worries me a little bit. Is there, you know, genetics going on where you have to fight weight his whole career? And is it going to affect the way he plays and affect his athleticism as a pass rusher? Because you're not drafting any defensive lineman, interior or exterior, in the first round unless you think they can get after the quarterback. And, you know, the production could have been better from Kinlaw at South Carolina, too, as far as just, you know, collecting sacks. Even though there's some reps that are so fun, it's like you still need to, you know, make plays and get in the opponent's backfield and make those kind of plays. And the other thing is injuries. He's had a couple of injuries, and he had to pull out of the Senior Bowl because of an injury in practice. Didn't get a chance to work out, so you don't know exactly what those workout numbers are going to look like. Might have some knee tendonitis going on. So there's just... And he said he's 100%, and of course, that's exactly what him and his camp would be saying at this time of year. So just there's enough questions with Kinlaw where I was like, look, these two stud receivers are on the board. Those are your guys, Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. But the Niners went with the defensive tackle in Kinlaw. And if it goes right and if he hits, I love the, just in a vacuum, if I'm starting a franchise, the organizational philosophy of let's build the lines, if you, and I kind of like that. And I know fans are tired of it, and I totally understand that too. And at some point, you're not getting the returns anymore if you keep drafting the same position year after year. But drafting an interior defensive lineman, maybe not, but just drafting defensive lineman and offensive lineman every year is not a bad organizational philosophy. And last year, the reason the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, the reason they were one of the best teams in the league, there's the offense was good, Kyle Shanahan is good, Jimmy Garoppolo is good. It's because of the dominant defensive line. So they want to keep that going. I totally get that. And so you understand why they would go with Javon Kinlaw there with all of his upside. And if he hits, it's all gravy. Everything's good. If Javon Kinlaw hits, it is a good selection for the 49ers at 14. And he was 14 on my big board, so there's not like a reach involved. There just happens to be guys who were rated higher still available for the 49ers at 14. And don't you worry, we will be talking a lot more about Javon Kinlaw and a lot more about Brandon Ayuk. We'll go into much more detail, go back into the film, and get as minute into detail of these prospects as possible on this podcast in the coming days and weeks, leading up to whenever, hopefully, training camp comes sometime, and hope to God it's near when it should be, because we don't need an extended off season before the season. Hopefully we have a full season, but that's another subject for another day. Javon Kinlaw, the pick for the 49ers at 14. The very next selection was Jerry Jeudy to the Broncos, and that was the selection I had in my mock draft. And it felt wrong. I was like, God, no way. Is Jerry Jeudy really going to fall all the way to 15 for the Broncos, who have been rumored to be a team that wanted to trade up to get their wide receiver? And he did. He fell. He fell to 15 to the Denver Broncos. And pick 16 was A.J. Terrell. Probably the first like true reach of the first round, I think, was A.J. Terrell, a corner. I mean, not even that much. I think I had him like going 19 or 20 in my mock draft. So, you know, it's not that much. But he leapfrogged CeeDee Lamb, which is a tough one because, and if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me talk about there's 16 blue chip prospects in this class. And that pick at 16 was the first time someone jumped in that wasn't part of that group. So of my 16 blue chippers, they went in the top 17. CeeDee Lamb, which is really surprising that he's the guy who was the only one that wasn't in that top 16. A.J. Terrell leapfrogged him. Terrell went 16 to the Atlanta Falcons, who were very obviously a cornerback needy team. And there was rumors that they were trying to trade up and make a deal to go get their cornerback. And that did not come to fruition. Then at pick 17, I think the Cowboys probably expected to go another direction, but he was the best player available. So the Dallas Cowboys did the right thing and drafted the best player. And that player was CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma at 17. And now Dak Prescott has CeeDee Lamb to go with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. So nice little receiving core there going on in Dallas. Pick 18 was actually, you know what? A.J. Terrell, I called him a reach. Five picks? Come on, you can't call that a reach. Austin Jackson was a reach at pick 18, in my opinion, to the Miami Dolphins. He's an athletic pass protector, but he's got some work to do. He's not going to jump in and play left tackle, I don't think, at a high level for the Dolphins in year one. Crocker, shout out to my guy, Eric Crocker. He loved cornerback Damon Arnett out of Ohio State. I thought this guy was going to go in round three, maybe even round four. There were some off-field issues, red flags, short arms, ran a bad 40 time, 4.57. Mike Mayock said, I don't care. This guy is a competitor. He is a baller. I'm going to draft him at number 19. Damon Arnett, the biggest surprise to me in round one. Raiders drafting cornerback Damon Arnett out of Ohio State at pick 19. The Jags select pass rusher, outside linebacker Ke'Lavon Chaisson at pick 20. The heir apparent to Yannick Ngakoue. Yannick Ngakoue did not get traded Thursday night, which I thought would be a possibility. 21, Jalen Reagor to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, another team that I'm surprised the Eagles weren't able to pull off a trade to go from 21 once guys like CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy started to fall. I mean, they couldn't get up with the Falcons to select CeeDee Lamb. It's interesting. But they went with their guy, Jalen Reagor, speedster, at 21. 22, another wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, out of LSU. He was somebody that I thought was starting to worry me, actually. And that's when things get into perspective, because I was like, oh man, Justin Jefferson, I do not like that for the 49ers at 13. And that's something I thought was possibly going to happen. So through that lens, and Kinlaw's the pick, I love Kinlaw with the high upside that he brings compared to someone like Justin Jefferson if the 49ers would have gone that route. 23, Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma. The Los Angeles Chargers traded into the round, which is surprising, trading up for a linebacker. They moved up with the New England Patriots at 23 to pick Kenneth Murray. Cesar Ruiz, the best interior lineman in this draft, center slash guard, probably play some guard next to Wood there in New Orleans, to the Saints at 24. And then the 49ers jumped back on the clock at pick 25 to get their wide receiver. We'll get into that pick in the rest of round one next. I got to admit, this pick was a head-scratcher. Not so much the player. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver from Arizona State, 5'11 and a half, 205 pounds, ran a 4.5 flat at the combine. He might even play a little faster. You know, he's got some juice. I like, and you know, another yak guy. He's the closest thing to Deebo Samuel in this draft. So obviously, Kyle Shanahan has a type. And I put out a tweet, and I knew I had sent this tweet, and I went and found it. In February, I sent a tweet that said, these receivers, I'm willing to bet Kyle Shanahan put a gold star next to. And Brandon Ayuk was one of the three receivers. It was Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Ayuk, and Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson probably go Saturday in this draft, probably fourth, fifth round guy, I think. Good route runner. Jerry Jeudy? Apparently not. Jerry Jeudy, not one of the top two, at least, wide receivers on Kyle Shanahan's board, which is quite surprising to me, but one of those I was correct on, and it was Brandon Ayuk. And according to Kyle Shanahan, I don't know how much BS this is, because you hear this from every coach and GM after every draft. Oh, we got the best guy on our board. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, really? At 25, you got your favorite player. But he said this is their top wide receiver in the draft, and said it was between Brandon Ayuk and Kinlaw and CeeDee Lamb. Those were the three guys at pick 14 and 13, and then they went up to get Brandon Ayuk, who's the number one receiver on Shanahan's board, apparently. And I'm not surprised that he was a Shanahan guy. Nowhere near the top receiver on my board. And every single analyst I've seen out there, nowhere near number one on their board. So Kyle Shanahan definitely on an island with that comment. And judging by the teams in this draft, the five teams that took wide receivers in front of the 49ers obviously did not have Brandon Ayuk as their top receiver in this class. The strange part about this pick isn't Brandon Ayuk. And look, I had him five, six spots later in my... I had him going to the Packers at pick 30. So I can see how the 49ers thought, okay, this is the last wide receiver in a tier. We want that. Before I heard Shanahan's comments, I thought, okay, look, Jefferson went off the board and Rager went off the board. So the 49ers are thinking, oh man, this is our second tier of wide receivers. This is the last guy in this specific tier is Ayuk. So then let's go get that guy. That's what I thought maybe was happening. And apparently that wasn't the case, and that Shanahan just loved Ayuk that much and was even thinking about taking him at 13 or 14, which blows my mind. But he probably thought I had to get in front of the Green Bay Packers. But if they would have held their water one more pick, the Green Bay Packers actually weren't going to take Ayuk at 30 because they were moving up to draft Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State. They made a move with the Miami Dolphins to go get him at 26, which probably did not make Aaron Rodgers super happy, who probably wish he would have had Ayuk or another receiver at 30. But the 49ers didn't have to trade up to get their guy. The evaluation aside, because to me, even if someone else did trade or someone else did draft Ayuk, me personally, I wouldn't have been worried about it at pick 31 if that's the case. So you got this extra fourth round pick for moving down one spot from 13 to 14. And then they use that pick to move back up from 31 along with one of their fifth rounders to get to 25 to draft Ayuk. So all this time you're thinking, man, you don't have a pick between the end of the first round and pick 156 in round five. So the idea is to trade down and get some more picks. And they did that at 14. And then they undid that by using that pick that they got back in round four to move up. And if you're the 49ers, they're probably thinking, it was a free pick. We just earned it. So let's spend it back and, you know, everything's even. Now we got the guy we wanted. Which makes sense. I understand it. If he actually, you know, if he was your first wide receiver. But for me, he was not my first wide receiver, so I have to question it because it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it was not worth moving up to draft that player. And as it turns out, the only team that maybe was going to draft a quarterback or draft a wide receiver ended up drafting a quarterback, so it's pretty clear you didn't have to move up to get the guy. So, you know, you wasted a fourth and fifth round pick in a draft where you needed that extra fourth, or you wanted to go get that extra second, third, or fourth round pick. So just a little bit of a head scratcher. Not surprised that Shanahan loves Ayuk. For me, it makes a little bit less sense after the trade, and it makes a little bit less sense also after considering you have that guy already. Like, you just want a bunch of the same guy? It's really strange about Shanahan, and it's the thing that's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious. He likes his guys, and he wants a bunch of his guys that can... Pretty much everyone has to play in the slot at some point and can play outside a little bit, but he cares more about the guys who can play in the slot, can catch and run after the catch, and he has a lot of similar players on his team. Doesn't care about size, doesn't care about contested catch. It becomes a very odd wide receiver group when you add Brandon Ayuk to it. And Brandon Ayuk, I don't think, is a player who's going to jump in and be a starter next to Deebo Samuel either early. So that's the other thing, is he's a raw player. The thing that I thought the 49ers needed most as a wide receiver was someone who could step in, play early, and be a starter, which I thought, you know, Jeudy, Ruggs, Lamb were those type of guys, and maybe some other players actually in this draft. But ideally, you're not drafting for this year in the NFL draft. You're looking 2-3 years ahead. He's shaped weird, too. I've compared him to Deebo Samuel. A lot of people do because of his run after the catch ability. More of a shorter, stout wide receiver. 5'11 and a half, 205, not quite as thick as Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel's thicker, built almost like a running back in the lower half. You know, big butt, thick thighs. Brandon Ayuk is thick kind of up top. He has the widest shoulders and these super long arms. He's got an 80-inch wingspan, which is like the wingspan of someone who's like 6'7". Oddly shaped guy. Somebody on Twitter, apologies to whoever it was on Twitter. I don't remember the username, but somebody said, Brandon Ayuk can tie his shoes standing up. I thought that was a great way to put it. These weirdly long arms. So he can extend and catch the ball. He doesn't necessarily play above the rim because of those long arms, but an oddly shaped human being. But, you know, kind of similar to Deebo Samuel, although the proportions are different. That could be that player for the 49ers. And I didn't think Ayuk was that guy. So, you know, Ayuk, as far as value-wise, if the 49ers stayed at 31, that's fine. That's right about where I had him ranked. Moving up to get him, completely unnecessary move, in my opinion. And I probably wouldn't even have taken Ayuk. I definitely wouldn't have taken Ayuk anyway at 31 with who was left on the board. And I wouldn't have worried about trading down even and missing out on Ayuk. So, definitely, I did not see eye-to-eye with that pick. I would have taken different players at both of the spots than the 49ers did, which is not, you know, a big surprise. People get super mad at me. Hey, they know a lot more than you do. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Kyle Shanahan's forgotten more football than I will ever know. But he also doesn't have a great track record of drafting offensive players. And literally every time the 49ers have traded up in this new regime, it's been not good. And so we'll see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. But 2017, they traded up for Reuben Foster, bad. Traded up for C.J. Beathard, bad. He was an undrafted, he should have been an undrafted free agent. They traded up to get him in the third round. Joe Williams was not even on the 49ers draft board. Kyle Shanahan talked John Lynch into putting him on the board and trading up to get him in round four, bad. Traded up in 2018 to get Dante Pettis in the second round. That, as it turns out, also bad. So not a great track record for Kyle Shanahan and his offensive players that he can't live without, and he makes John Lynch go and trade for him. You can really see how, and this would be tough if I was a GM, you can really see how a rift could be created between a GM and a coach. Because at some point, I would, especially with the like what the 49ers have done the last 3 years, and then we're in the draft room, we're in the war room. We're like, okay. And Shanahan's like, let's trade up to get Ayuk. And I'd be like, no. Hell no. You know, I'd be like, what are you talking about? No, absolutely not. And so I could see how those conversations get very difficult and coaches and GMs get really mad at each other. And I will commend John Lynch for doing that for Kyle Shanahan, for the relationship that those guys have. And I think even if they get some picks wrong, having that relationship is pretty important. So it's a good sign for the organization. And even though they've missed on a lot of draft picks, they still put together somehow a Super Bowl caliber roster. So the coaching staff is good. They've got a quarterback in place. They've got a lot of good players, even though they've missed on some. And they have a Super Bowl roster. So you're going to take some, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. I wouldn't have necessarily done the same thing as the 49ers did, but I think they did get two good players. They got two players that were inside my top 32. So they picked two first round guys. And there's upside with both players. So if those players hit and you can see where they would turn out great, and the 49ers could have home runs with either selection, you can also see where there's a little bit of bust potential or a little bit of downside to both of those picks too. So we'll see how things turn out. It's a very interesting first round. Didn't go really at all like I thought it was going to go, and it never does, which is why the NFL draft is so fun, right? But Javon Kinlaw, monster defensive tackle, he could be a problem for a long time. I like the organizational philosophy of like, look, the defensive line's our thing. That carried us to a Super Bowl. Let's not take a step back there. Let's try to get the meanest, baddest dude we can on the defensive line. And at that pick, that's who it was. At 14, it was Javon Kinlaw. And then at wide receiver, it's another Shanahan guy. Look, let's throw slants all day and catch and run. Let's go. So that's what's going on with the 49ers. different players, but more of the same, I think, going on in 2020, both offensively and defensively, with the picks for the 49ers in round one. Definitely going more in depth with both of the players the 49ers have selected in the first round and the rest of the draft. Day two, if they get a pick there. Day three as well, we'll get in depth with all of those guys. And I'll be back talking about everything with the draft next week, starting Monday, right here, Locked On 49ers.